Getting Zen with Gen Z. Empowering, motivating, and inspiring you to live your happiest, healthiest life. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Getting Zen with Gen Z. Today, we are going to talk about something that I think is a very important topic, meditation. I work with a lot of my clients, especially when they come in for Reiki services, and we do some guided meditations and I offer them tools. But I wanted to bring in somewhat of an expert who I like to call Mr. Meditation, Daryl Jones. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Jen.
Of course. And a few episodes ago, I had Daryl's wife, Dr. Carrie, on from Be Optimal. Mm-hmm. And we talked about you actually coming on a future episode. So, of course, you guys are both amazing and very inspiring. So I'm very happy that you could take the time today to come here.
Thank you so much. I'm honored to be on the show.
Of course. So Daryl, you are the general manager at Chill Meditation and Massage, correct?
Correct.
And that's here in the city.
It's here in the city in the River North neighborhood at 222 West Kinsey. So we're right across the street from the Merchandise Mart.
Oh, fabulous. Mm-hmm. Okay. So before we kind of get into talking about tips and tools and understanding what meditation really is, mm-hmm. give us a little bit of background about yourself.
Sure. So I love to connect with people. Mm-hmm. And the biggest way that I connected with people as a child was through music and theater. That's what I ended up studying in undergrad. Mm-hmm. Fast forward, I became an adult and life got really stressful.
Yes.
Experienced things like divorce and, you know, job transitions. Mm-hmm. And found myself kind of grasping at, what am I doing? Why am I here? What's the purpose of all of this? And I started reading lots of books. I started kind of exploring my own personal spirituality a bit more. And everything that I looked at was pointing me back to, you need to cultivate some sort of awareness. Mm-hmm. You need to develop and deepen your relationship with yourself first before you, you know, improve your relationship with the world, whether
100%.
It be with another person or another job, whatever it may be. So that's, you know, kind of what prompted me to begin this practice. And I helped launch a spiritual community back in 2003 that's still active, called the Bodhi Spiritual Center.
Okay.
And it was there that I was a sound engineer. I was telling you.
Awesome.
About
yes.
And I was the guy who would basically turn the music on at the beginning of the meditation, turn it off in the middle of it, and bring it back to, you know, let people know it was over.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I was like, well, I'm sitting here for 10 to 15 minutes just staring at nothing. I might as well do this practice.
Join in and, yeah.
And I had some very profound experiences just sitting in the back sound booth waiting for people to finish meditating.
Wow.
And that really started to pique my interest. Fast forward to, you know, over 6 years of my own personal study and taking classes. I actually graduated in 2012 with a master's in consciousness studies, where okay. I looked at the systems of religion and science and mm-hmm. psychology and sociology, all of these things that people use to become more aware and understand their world.
Right, of course.
And what I took away from that was, wow, all of these traditions, whether they be religious or even scientifically based, have some practice of meditation. Maybe they don't all call it meditation, but mm-hmm. there's a pause that has to happen.
Right.
So whether it's prayer in some tradition, whether it's literally sitting in stillness and silence like you would in maybe more of a traditional Buddhist setting, mm-hmm. Or even the scientific world, to step back and before you start some research, you have a Venn diagram.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to look and see and be conscious and aware and like, what's my hypothesis?
Right.
Set an intention before you move forward. To me, these are all elements of the meditative practice.
Yes.
And as much as I could talk about the spiritual side of it, I realized that meditation is a practice that everyone needs to do every single day, just like brushing their teeth mm-hmm. to support their emotional and mental well-being.
I love that. It just to touch on that, I think that's what really drew me to you. And I love the fact that you make it a little bit more realistic for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just, you know, at the end of like a total spiritual, you know, endeavor or whatever it is. It's something that you can incorporate, that anybody can incorporate in their daily lives. And
absolutely.
I think sometimes people have this mentality of, oh, meditation, you know, it's kind of like, especially even when I talk about Reiki, I think people don't have the understanding or aren't as open to it.
Mm-hmm.
And they think it is just more of this spiritual kind of, you know,
I don't know what I want to say, but they don't always believe in it or think that it's necessarily.
It's
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like a woo-woo type, you know, deal. But, you know, I think talking about it on a more realistic sense gives people a little bit of a better insight to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so to fast forward to chill and what I'm doing right now,
yeah.
I met the owner, Laura Sage, in late 2016. Mm-hmm. And she's not a teacher of meditation. We also offer massage as a way to help people relax. She's not a massage therapist.
I love massage, yes.
She worked in the financial industry where she knew stress really well for over 2 decades. And in her travels was seeing these boutique salons, not really the right word, but just these boutique service industries, whether it was stretching, whether it was exercise, and started to see the meditation industry open up a little bit. And she thought, wow, that'd be great. She was already engaging in her own practice and wanted to explore it in Chicago, but didn't find anything that brought it forward in a way that didn't have the wrappings of some of the dogma
right.
and some of the tradition. Not that it's bad, but she was like, I just want to go into a place where one, it's downtown where I work and live, that I can just step into and do some practice. And there really wasn't anything. So fast forward to the beginning of 2017, we came together and created Chill, which is, if you go into the space, it's very beautiful. There's hardly anything on the wall, so there's no iconography that's pointing
right.
to a certain tradition.
Yeah.
And it's all about welcoming people into the practice every day, whether it's morning, afternoon, or in the evening, whether you come dressed in a skirt or a dress, you know, for work, or if you're in a three-piece suit, or if you're in yoga pants, or you're in shorts and a tank top and flip-flops, like
everyone's welcome.
Come and sit and learn this practice that supports you, regardless, actually, of your belief system.
That's amazing. Yeah. I have to come. I want to come check it out.
Yes, you
so
should.
Bad.
Please.
And I love the name.
Yes.
Chill. I mean, it's just like, go chill, relax. I think it just is a perfect way to describe exactly what you can get out of it.
Right. Well, the thing that's interesting is it's such a word in our vernacular.
Now, yeah.
Right? You know, I'm a child of the 70s and 80s and grew up saying, chill, chill out, take a chill pill.
Right.
Right?
And, yeah.
And I think everyone gets the ideal of what that means, but rarely do people have a practice of chilling.
Right.
Right? They may think that the glass of scotch or the glass of wine at the end of the day is something that helps them chill. It's helping them turn things down.
Right.
Or numb things. And don't get me wrong, I love a good scotch. I love a good glass of wine. But it's not something that's benefiting necessarily or expanding our health and wellness. It's
right.
just something that's helping us manage in the moment. And to actually chill, to let the body become still and to connect to the breath, it does something physiologically and neurologically that is challenging to do and quite easy to do at the same time. But the benefits of just a little bit of that every single day, it can be life-changing for people.
So tell people, define what meditation is.
Sure. So
I know that's kind of hard. I mean,
well, it's not hard. One of the ways that I like to describe meditation is, because I'm a musician and I think most people listen to music.
Absolutely.
If I was to say, explain what music is, right? So if we have an overarching banner of music, under it, there's so many genres and subgenres and styles of music. And we have our opinions about them, right?
Whether I was going to say there could be a lot of different definitions almost or varying opinions.
But the bottom line is that instruments and voices and things, rhythm, coming together to make sound that is harmonious in some way. In meditation, it is coming to yourself and pausing and becoming aware of the present moment, in particular using the breath. And there's so many different styles and ways to engage with that practice, whether it is more of a spiritual one or if it's more of a secular one in the mindfulness tradition. It's stopping and pausing and bringing your attention into the present moment. That, in a nutshell, is what meditation is. It sounds simple, but most of us are not spending much time in the present moment.
Right. Yes. This is truth right there. So what is your take? I would say, you know, a lot of clients that I do work with, especially more on, you know, the Reiki services and things, when they ask me about meditation and we talk about it, you know, me personally, I think if you can spend 3 to 5 minutes doing it, mm-hmm. or 20 minutes, no matter what length of time it is, I think checking in with yourself and taking that time to kind of pause yeah. and reflect is definitely beneficial. So I don't know, you know, what the services you guys have or mm-hmm. what you would tell people, I think in particular at home, how to create a great meditation practice, because I think we have so much stress going on right now in the world and with our jobs and hobbies and careers, everything, families, everything mm-hmm. we do, it's a very high stress. Mm-hmm. And we definitely need to take that time out for ourselves to just kind of slow down and mm-hmm. take that pause mm-hmm. and reflect on what's going on in the present moment. But what do you suggest for people to create or to even start, you know, a practice of their own?
Sure. So the biggest thing is to take a deep breath in. So mm-hmm. like right now, if we both take a deep breath in mm-hmm. and out, we could call that a meditation. We okay. just paused. We took a conscious breath. Mm-hmm. A practice of meditation is stringing a number of those together. Okay. So whether it's 3 breaths or 300 breaths, mm-hmm. all of it is meditation. Now, there's something to be said for sitting and meditating for 20 minutes or 30 minutes.
Of course.
You will get a different effect and experience than if you only sit for 2. Mm-hmm. But because you sit for 2 minutes versus 30 minutes, one is not more meditation than the other. It's just a quantity of time.
Okay.
So just like with physical exercise, mm-hmm. especially for beginners,
yes.
to begin moving the body in the direction of movement, mm-hmm. to go from a space of being maybe not active to active, you may not start doing much, but maybe 5 minutes on the treadmill, mm-hmm. 5 minutes of walking, 10 minutes of walking every day, but it's doing exactly. something to get you moving. Now, will you have a different experience? Will you have different results if you walk for 30 or 45 minutes? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But you don't say, oh, because I only walked for 10 minutes, it wasn't really walking. It
right,
was still walking.
Right, yes.
So to do meditation.
You have to build it up over time a little bit.
Yeah. So with meditation, it's the exact same principle that you mm-hmm. apply. Sitting and breathing and being still and connecting and becoming aware of the breath and whatever's happening in the moment, if you do it for 2 minutes, it's still going to be effective as if you do it for 20 minutes or mm-hmm. 2 hours. And I always suggest that people start with something that feels easy. We are a world that's all about striving.
Right.
And one of the main teaching points of mindfulness in particular is to not strive. Mm-hmm. That there's something to be said in not trying to make an effort something to happen. That's the resting. That's the Zen space. Mm-hmm. That's the peace place that a lot of people speak of in meditation. But our Western world is not about that right. at all. from the moment we get up to the moment we go to sleep, especially our internal dialogue with ourselves is one of finding what's wrong, judging something as good or bad, mm-hmm. judging ourselves as good or bad. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's what the mind does. It helps keep us safe. It tells us what to engage in and not to engage in.
Right.
But if that's the constant state that our mind is in, that's where people move into the space of chronic stress.
Right.
Right. So someone comes up to you and says something mean or something hurtful. It happens and it's over. Mm-hmm. The challenge is that most of us don't let it stay in that moment. We walk forward in 5 minutes
and
from
carry
now,
it.
We're going, oh my God, can you believe what they said? Mm-hmm. And we just keep thinking about it. And then we find someone else to talk about it. And then we call someone else to talk about it.
Yeah.
And though it may feel like we're doing something to process that, that's nothing wrong with that. It's stressing us out.
Right.
We're reliving
because we
that
continue
stress.
Taking it on with us throughout the day.
Yeah. So in meditation, to pause, you may even still have that thought in your mind, mm-hmm. but to consciously stop and not engage with it the way you normally do does something for your mental and emotional well-being.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And I feel like also with, you know, having more of a practice, I think you learn to detach a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I know, you know, myself as well, having gone through divorce and, you know, evolved and gone through many life changes.
Yes.
I think I, you know, definitely utilized meditation to help me become stronger and really get to the root of what I wanted, who I wanted to be, and what was going to help lead me to be happy. Mm-hmm. Because I wasn't. And I think it takes a long time for people to kind of become aware of that and come to that and make the decision to want to help themselves and love themselves and do something about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, meditation was kind of that outlet for myself. And I even continue to use it. I mean, I use it daily, mm-hmm. but when I compete, you know, for jiu-jitsu tournaments and things to get myself in that mental state, you know, beforehand. So I think it's something too for people, you know, it is something to use to help deal with stress in your daily life, but is something that's like a maintenance program that can help you to prepare for, you know, big business projects.
Absolutely.
Or sports events, or, you know, whatever it is to get that mind right and to be in that moment.
So we just had the marathon here over
yes,
the weekend.
Yes, we did, yeah.
And we had a group of Spanish-speaking runners at Chill. We had someone instruct a class in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And so like I said, there's so many different ways to meditate. One
right.
of the ways that I think is very beneficial, whether mm-hmm. it be for athletes or just for people in their workday,
mm-hmm.
is to do visualization.
Yes.
And that is
absolutely.
Where you see yourself in your day. You're consciously kind of projecting into the future,
mm-hmm.
But it's seeing yourself as successful as opposed to worrying about failing.
Yeah.
That's a very different headspace, a very mm-hmm. different mindset to be in. And so with the marathon runners, we literally had them see themselves the night before the run,
mm-hmm.
eating their meal, feeling the excitement and maybe even a little bit of fear of like, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, I'm about to run 22 miles.
I know. I can do jiu-jitsu, but not that.
You know? And see themselves getting up in the morning, getting ready, and
absolutely.
See themselves at the start line and set an intention. Mm-hmm. I think that was something that you mentioned earlier, the power of setting an intention. It's something that doesn't necessarily give us all the answers, but oftentimes we get distracted by life,
mm-hmm.
right? In terms of, I intend to show up to work today in the space of support.
Mm-hmm.
But then something happens and we don't feel like we can support. And so we, you know, start acting a different way.
Right.
We're not being supportive. In a running setting or any athletic setting, it's like, I intend to show up as an aware runner. I tend to show up as a gentle runner. I intend to show up as an excited and enthusiastic athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And then something may happen in front of you that, you know, takes you off of that. But just because it happens, it doesn't make you insensitive. There's the practice of reminding yourself. So
right.
to visualize seeing yourself going through, the very first time I ever saw this was when I was a kid with the Winter Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
And before they went down the slalom, I remember seeing this guy kind of looked like Stevie Wonder or Ray Charles, you know, like bobbing his head back and forth. And the announcer said he's visualizing, seeing himself going through the
right.
gym successful.
He's getting in the motions. He's going through it.
Right.
Yeah.
So in terms of applying it to our life, it's a practice that I do personally and that I invite a lot of people at Chill to do, especially in our morning classes,
mm-hmm.
is to set an intention and then see themselves successfully navigating their day in that intention.
Right.
So in the midst of the meeting, regardless of how prepared they may or may not be,
mm-hmm.
or a client call that they have, or maybe a hard conversation that they have to have with their boss or someone that they employ, that they see themselves living and expressing who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's literally practicing, training the mind to be in that space. And then when you step into it in actuality, you're more likely to be successful in that.
Absolutely. And I think it puts us, you know, setting the intention, I think it's creating more positivity, because I think our minds do tend to go towards a negative thought
mm-hmm.
sometimes. And you know, bringing that, if it's a worry or, you know, a fear that we have. But even utilizing, I think, fear, you know, fear, I think, is a big thing that people deal with. And,
yeah.
and that's why they don't move forward or do certain, you know, things to make change or create that change that they may need in their lives. But I think, you know, having that positive thought or that intention does remind us mm-hmm. to bring it forward in our mind. So that's in the forefront instead of something that's a little bit more of a negative thought, and utilizing that fear kind of to propel us forward.
Sure.
A little bit. But I think starting out with a great intention for the day definitely keeps us kind of on a path that we, you know, things can happen throughout the day and we can't control that, and being okay of letting go of that control a little bit, but having that purpose
is huge.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one of the benefits of that is touted in particular with mindfulness
mm-hmm.
is that it puts you into a space of responding to your life as opposed to reacting. Most of us are in the space of reaction.
Absolutely.
Someone does or doesn't do something, and then we respond. Someone says something or doesn't say something, and then we respond. But oftentimes it's not a response, it's a reaction. Can you believe it?
Right.
They didn't. Oh, my God. You know, and so we're kind
of like, anger comes out. The emotion.
Or it could even be excitement.
Right.
It's like someone says, I love you, and you're like, okay, that does feel good, but why is that the only thing that maybe makes us feel excited?
Right.
Right? We should, you know, we can be excited all the time. And I don't know if this is something that, how you, you know, teach your clients necessarily in terms of Reiki and energy, but one of my mentors always said, you know, if you can think of the idea of excitement and fear and step back, that there's something that happens before we experience excitement or fear, realizing that it's just energy moving.
Yes.
And that what we call fear is energy moving through a certain filter. And what we call excitement is energy moving through a certain filter.
Absolutely.
But before it hits the filter, it's all energy. And we can have some sort of choice about what filter we'd like to use.
100%. There's that word choice.
Yes. But a lot of us don't feel empowered. We feel trapped. We feel condemned. We feel shut down. We don't see possibility. And meditation is a practice of making ourselves aware. We may not necessarily know all the answers, but if we can pause long enough to move our mind, and this is one of the things I love about the work that we do at Chill, is that it is about feeling good. It's about the, you know, some of the woo-woo new age, connecting to the universe and everything's fantastic. But it's literally a practice that trains the mind to function in a way than it normally does. It's bettering our mental capacity.
Right.
And so if the first part of that is awareness, and that's what meditation is, becoming aware of what's in the present moment.
Right.
And sometimes people are challenged the first time they step into the meditation practice because they all of a sudden become aware of everything that they don't like in themselves. They become aware of all the choices they don't feel they have.
Right.
And the more you sit with it, eventually you realize, okay, it is a choice.
Yes.
So am I going to keep moving in this direction of like, there's nothing for me here. There's no possible person that I can date on this planet out of 7 billion people that it's going to match my needs, wants, and desires, and that I may match their needs, wants, and desires that we could have a relationship together. There's not a job anywhere on this planet that is more than 7 billion people of possibility. You know, like, oh, okay, there's something there.
There's something there.
There's the little light that comes in through the door. You know?
And I think that having that practice and being aware definitely eventually gives you that courage and confidence.
Yeah.
You know, I think sitting with it and understanding who you are and breaking everything down and being okay with what's going on and realizing, you know, what choices or options you do have, I think becoming mentally stronger gives us that confidence and empowerment to make those choices.
Absolutely.
So tell me, what does it look like when somebody comes in to Chill?
Sure.
What should I expect? Yeah. What kind of classes do you have? What, you know, tell me everything.
So we offer 4 classes regularly.
Okay.
And they range in time from 30 minutes to an hour. We offer classes in the morning as early as 7:30 a.m. We always do an afternoon class at 11:30 around lunchtime. And then we have classes after 5 o'clock until we close. And those classes are, one is called breath. So in that class, you come in and it is, they're all guided. So you're not going into a room by yourself. You're not trying to facilitate your own meditation. Someone's guiding you through
guidance.
The experience. So
excellent.
When you walk in, someone says hello and starts telling you what to do, basically. And in the breath class, it is all about breathing and becoming aware of the breath. It's one of the most fundamental things that I mentioned earlier. In any tradition, the breath happens in only one place, and that's the present moment.
Yes.
So that's why so many meditation practices start with breathing exercises. And a lot of people don't have conscious breathing through the day. It's very shallow. They're not aware of what they're breathing or how they're breathing. So that class is to help people just get in touch with their body, get in touch with their breath. We have another class called Insight. It's also 30 minutes. One of my favorite ones, because I'm a little bit more of like a thinker and a philosopher and like to, you know, just, I like, I'm heady.
Yes, absolutely.
So insight is intended to guide you through an experience of exploration and self-discovery.
Mm-hmm. So, ooh, I love that.
Yeah. And it may be a quote, an inspirational quote from something, prompted, followed by a question as a prompt. So, you know, if the quote was, Lao Tzu, if you're familiar with Lao Tzu, he wrote the Tao Te Ching. And one of, to paraphrase one of his things, by slowing down, all things get done.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Which seems very, like, jarring
to
us in the Western world. But by slowing down, all gets done. How might that apply, or how could that be something in your world? Mm-hmm. And then we would just pause and let you breathe and think about that for a moment. That's different than the laundry list thinking that we do through most of the day, right?
Absolutely.
So that's the intention of that class. We have a class called Rest on Monday and Wednesday evenings at 7:30 p.m. And it is by far one of my favorite classes to facilitate because I get to see people transform. So they come in and they sit for about 10 minutes and then they lay down on their back for almost 30.
Okay.
We have these long, beautiful, comfortable cushions. And so it's not only letting the mind kind of slow down and unplug from the day, but the body is literally being invited. We do a body scan from head to toe, relaxing each muscle bit by bit. And it's pretty powerful because a lot of us walk around holding lots of tension and tightness.
Oh, absolutely. We need that. It's basically scheduling your rest or your self-care time, which is so important. But so I think it works for people to hold themselves accountable to kind of, you know, you need to schedule that time in just like anything else. Even with sleep, I, you know, had somebody on talking about sleep therapy, and people always ask me, Jen, you're so busy. How do you get so much sleep? I schedule my time in. Yeah. I need my 8 to 9 hours of sleep per night. And, you know, that's the most beneficial for my health. So scheduling in this, you know, restfulness, this mindfulness, this time for, you know, us to check in with ourselves, I think is something that's super important that we can schedule in and organize and fit into our schedules.
Yeah. The longest class that we offer that's an hour is called Yoga and Meditation. It's probably our most popular class because it's not – some people have a hard time just coming in and sitting down. So in the Yoga and Meditation class, it's 30 minutes of yoga and then 30 minutes of guided meditation practice.
Excellent.
And it all happens in one class. It's not any – it's not strenuous, so it's not intended to be a workout. You will get some heat generated. You're doing, you know, sun salutations, and you're going to go into downward dog and hold plank and go into various positions. But it's about opening up the shoulders, elongating the spine, and opening up the hips, so it's easier to go into a cross-legged position for meditation. A lot of people really, really like that class because they feel like they're getting a little bit of exercise. So
well, you're getting some of that mobility. You're opening up and, you know, feeling good, and that's that stretch and everything, and then you can kind of relax and rest. Which I think is a beautiful combination.
Yeah. So those are the four basic classes. And, and anyone, we don't have tiers or levels in terms of beginners or advanced. All of them are intended for beginners. And as, and if you've been meditating for 10 years, you can still come and benefit from those classes.
Right. It's your practice. So you can take away from it, you know, what you'd like.
Yeah.
Now, how does it work as far as you pay per class? Is there,
So we have a drop-in fee, which is $22 per class.
Oh, that's great.
We, you know, like a yoga studio that may sell packages. So you can buy a 5 or 10 pack for a slight discount. The big thing that we really like to champion, though, is a membership. And that is where you get unlimited classes 7 days a week. You get a percentage off of our massage services. And we also do workshops and retreats for people that want to do a little bit more of an intensive. We just had a 4-week mindful meditation immersion. We're doing another one in November for a whole day from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m.
That now, sounds amazing.
You're not meditating the whole time. There will be food and lunch and discussion and dialogue. But for people that want to just take their practice and understanding of it a little bit deeper. But the membership, the beautiful thing about that is it's someone who's really wanting to, you know, take charge of their mind, if you will. So like you would have a membership at a gym. For me, I did a lot of exercise by myself and it was okay, but it wasn't until I joined a gym and I started going to classes. I worked with a trainer that I was pushing myself into a level of physical strength and wellness and flexibility that I couldn't quite do on my own.
We have that guidance, that definitely, and it's motivation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That, so you do, with your like corporate stuff? Do you visit all different corporations?
Absolutely.
Right?
We've worked with well over 100 businesses since we've opened, and we do something as short as an hour long kind of introduction. This is what meditation is. Mm-hmm. Do a little bit of myth busting. You know, like a lot of people.
I love
think
that. Yes,
it's about turning the mind off. It's not about turning the mind off. It's about being with the mind in a gentle way. And then we actually guide a meditation for them, and it could be 20 to 30 minutes, and then we do some Q&A. Some other businesses, we've done series as long as 12 weeks,
okay,
6 weeks, 4 weeks. We've worked with children, high school, middle-aged, young kids, but taking it into law firms, taking it into design and marketing companies, taking it into teachers and school settings, the people that are, you know, experiencing stress in lots of different levels. This morning I did an hour-long class with a bunch of people that work for a real estate company.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what industry you work
right.
in, it's all stressful, and we need a tool to manage it in a healthy way.
That's incredible. I just, you know, I really think it's important for a lot of even these, you know, big corporations or smaller businesses to incorporate that wellness, especially for their employees. And, you know, I think you get so much more focus from an individual when they have this time and they have this preventative care almost.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's also great for you to have those myth busters and get people to understand how this is something that is just, you know, very realistic and that you can incorporate into your daily life at home, coming to chill, you know, taking any time if it's with a group or, you know, individual. And I think, you know, you bringing up before too, just taking the breath. I think that's super important that that's something people can implement daily and they don't. Mm-hmm. And just by taking those deep breaths a few at a time can really have such a benefit.
Absolutely.
I mean, it just, you know, it makes you feel so much better and kind of, I don't want to say totally clears the mind, but kind of resets you a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even just to, you know, one of the things you were talking about is what's the practical way that we can apply this into our daily life? So like right now in the midst of this, you know, to just for both of us to pause once again, and I invite the listeners to do so. Take a deep breath in and out. And then we go on with whatever we're doing. That is an actual technique that that we teach. It's called the stop technique. So you stop what you're doing.
Yeah.
Take a deep breath, or we suggest three deep breaths, but even just one deep breath, observe what's happening, and then proceed. That's it. That's the beginning.
It just makes you feel so much better.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you can really feel it. You take notice, and it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Now I can go back to what I'm doing, you know, and feel really good about it.
Yep.
Feel re-energized almost. So where can people find you and find all your information?
Yeah. Chillchicago.com is our website. We're on social media as well, on Facebook and Instagram. I'm personally on there as well. And we are offering classes 7 days a week. We have massage. So that's the other thing I just want to speak to.
Absolutely.
It's a little bit different.
But, absolutely.
Some people, I think they meditate on the massage table or they meditate in the chair. One, they're literally engaging their body in a specific way and it feels good, but it's requiring them to pause. So, you know, again, meditation doesn't always look and have to look a certain way.
Right.
Yeah, we offer meditation and massage 7 days a week, and we're open almost 365 days a year.
Awesome.
Because people need it all the time.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And everybody has a different schedule. I mean, work schedules are different, so that's amazing that you have a schedule like that where people can utilize it whenever they need.
Mm-hmm.
Truly.
Truly. If they go to our website, we do have a 5-minute one that I recorded, an audio one. There's a drop down that just says listen. So if you want to get a taste without coming into the studio of what the experience might be like, to have a guided session at Chill, that would give you an idea as well.
That's amazing. I love that because there are so many tools, honestly, you know,
so many out there
where people can have guidance and use guided meditations or listen to frequencies or whatever it can be to help, you know, them relax and pause and you know, there's no cookie cutter way to do it.
So, you know, to challenge the listeners, there's a couple of ideas that I'd like to offer. One is whenever I teach in more of that corporate setting, it's always about making it relevant and practical mm-hmm. and helping people understand how this can be impactful. So I always ask the question, you know, how many of you brush your teeth?
Mm-hmm.
And everyone kind of, you know, does it yeah. just that. They laugh. Yeah.
Right. Of course. Yeah.
Who doesn't brush their teeth? And then I ask, you know, well, why do you do it?
Mm-hmm.
And people go, well, I don't want my breath to stink, or I want to be fresh, or I want good oral hygiene. I want to be healthy. I'm like, okay, so do you not brush your teeth when you go on vacation? They're like, no, I still brush my teeth when I'm on vacation. So this is something that people do twice a day, 365 right. days a year.
Absolutely.
No matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get up on Monday morning and go, all right, I'm brushing my teeth really, really good today, and I think I'll be all right for the rest of the week. You know, like by the end of the day, you're ready to brush your teeth
yes.
again. So I always follow that up with, well, what do you do 365 days a year, even when you're on vacation, to keep your mental and emotional health up? Up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, jokingly people go, oh, I have a cocktail. Or maybe they go and they exercise. Now, again, a cocktail is okay.
Mm-hmm.
It does something to kind of like lessen if we're overstimulated, but it's numbing.
Right.
You know, to be real.
Yes.
It's numbing.
Yes, absolutely.
Exercise is a wonderful thing to do. It's moving energy
mm-hmm.
that's needed. But it's different than being aware and present. Oftentimes when we exercise, we're diverting ourselves away from mm-hmm. what we may need to give our attention to.
Right. 100%.
And so to practice twice a day and to literally bookend it around brushing your teeth.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to brush your teeth, spit, and before you leave the bathroom, take 3 deep breaths. That's the beginning of your meditation practice.
There you go.
Right?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be super long. And it actually, I don't think it should be. You mm-hmm. want to set yourself up to feel good and be successful.
Right.
If you walk into meditation on your own and you have an expectation of, oh, I'm going to do this for 45 minutes.
I think that's where people kind of set themselves up a little bit for failure.
Absolutely.
And they get intimidated and they think they have to have, you know, all of this time. But I love that, incorporating the breaths and revolving it around the time you brush your teeth
mm-hmm.
so that you have that. That's an automatic. But I think the most important thing is consistency.
Yes.
So if you can implement that every day, twice a day, mm-hmm. just that breath work, mm-hmm. You know, that's amazing.
Any of the research and studies that show the benefits of meditation and mindfulness, it's mm-hmm. always by people who are regular practitioners.
Yeah. Well, right? With anything, we know consistency is key.
It's key.
With anything.
With anything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's, I mean, you know, and I hope everybody at home listening definitely incorporates this
yes.
because it's super important. And I would love for you, I mean, you having that guided meditation, I mean, on the website,
yeah.
I think is huge and people can listen to that. That's amazing that, you know, you offer that. And I definitely need to come and take some of these classes.
Please do. Please
because
do.
This is right up my alley and it's amazing. But I want you to remind us again, when do you have another event, a 4-week event starting?
The weekend of November 2nd, we're
okay.
actually doing a retreat.
Okay.
We'll be gone from the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th to New Buffalo, Michigan. So
oh,
it's
nice.
Only an hour and a half away, but
yeah.
you feel like you're getting out of the city.
Amazing.
And it'll be a weekend of practice and mm-hmm. restoration. So you'll meditate at least 5 or 6 times. You'll
mm-hmm.
do some yoga classes. And then one of the workshops that we offer, so we have workshops as well that
okay.
kind of veer outside of our normal classes.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is a sound healing where there's a gong that's played. And
so oh,
the
yes.
I've
experienced that before.
It's pretty amazing
it's
to meditate.
So amazing. Yes.
But we'll have that over the weekend as well.
Okay.
And then we have an intensive on November 10th. It's a Saturday. We're actually doing it in the West Loop in a space where we can accommodate more people.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be a look at 2 basic things in meditation, the breath and the body.
Okay.
And we will spend that full day together looking at breathing, understanding breathing, experimenting with different ways of breathing
mm-hmm.
and finding the breathing style that works for you to help you get centered. Then we'll also look at the body. How do we sit with the body? A lot of us get uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we learn to be with the body? You don't just have to sit with crossed legs. You can kneel, you can lay down, you can stand, you can move and meditate.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of different things.
Right.
So those are the 2 core elements that we're going to focus on. But it is November 10th from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. We have lunch. lunch and healthy snacks included. And that's all on our website as well at chillchicago.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Daryl, so much. I really, really appreciate you coming and talking and sharing all this information.
Thank you for having us on. I'm glad
I think
to
it's
share.
Just so truly important for people to really incorporate this into their daily lives. And for you guys listening, any topics or questions you have, go ahead and send me an email to gettingzenwithgenz@gmail.com. And I'll talk to you next week. Thanks. Bye.